There needs to be a formal exercise, but there's an informal exercise, which is the relationship. In order for you to get the best supply, I think you should be quite clear on what your expectations are. A lot of that information at the top might not really resonate with what that person at ground level really wants. Relationship, talk, understand one another, and then just ensure that what that person can deliver aligns with what you want.
We are joined officially, Courtney Chambers, C4 Cleaning, businessman, entrepreneur, extraordinaire.
Keep going.
You're just laughing it up. I'm expecting you to say, hey.
Nah, do you know what it is? I never get to talk about myself. I struggle to talk about myself in like a really positive frame. And I know what you should do is you should have this confidence and you should be able to be putting yourself on a pedestal. You know, if you're not going to be able to talk about yourself in the right way, then it kind of shows a sort of lack of self-belief and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm naturally a person who is relatively humble and quite conservative. Because I've got so much, I'm like my own biggest critic, which is a bit cliche, but I always think I could do a bit better, or I could do better. So it's very difficult for me to talk about myself really positively. So I allow you to serenade me.
You don't mind when I've
serenade me with compliments, fine.
Okay, we're not going to waste too much time. I hate listening to podcasts where they have long intros and go into...
No, let's just get straight into it.
We'll get straight into it. Here, what we're going to talk about today. We had a little pre-discussion. We were talking about when they give you a tender. Mm. Is that the right term?
All right, so we're going to talk straight about business. We're going to talk about opportunities. And we're going to talk about the frameworks of what a corporate company does when they give you an opportunity.
So just tell me typically what happens when a tender comes in. What happens? Is it a phone call or an email?
Okay, so there is such a difference in regards to opportunities versus like the size of the prospect that you're dealing with. You've got to remember, I've been doing this for over 13 years. So the conversations and the prospects and the opportunities that I've had in my early stages versus what they are now are just miles apart. If we're talking about current prospects and what those sort of corporate opportunities look like, there is a lot of relationship what needs to be built prior to this. You will get some very cold exercises where they're kind of using you as like a benchmark, yeah? And in my experience, it's unlikely that you win those opportunities because of the way it's been produced to you. Usually, when an opportunity is coming because you've spent a lot of time working prospect, engaging with them, having conversations and explaining more about your business, explaining about what you are prepared to offer and what you're prepared to do. And they will kind of talk to you about the sort of challenges and expectations they have. Then when that starts to kind of marinate, you will then get produced with an opportunity. Now, again, if we're talking about sort of like today's prospects and some of the corporate clients that we work with, you'll typically get an email to say, interested in you tendering for an opportunity. Can you please confirm that you are interested? Can you sign an NDA? And then we'll send you over some documentation, like a costing, scope, sizes, dimensions, all that sort of stuff. And then you've got the kind of opportunity for you to put in your figures and your responses to questions.
Do you think is there a correlation between that sort of that relationship building?
I think so.
And success in getting the eventual tender?
I think so. I mean, there needs to be a formal exercise, but there's an informal exercise, which is the relationship. And you can't really be, I don't think you can be successful. And I'm talking about the private sector as well, not the public sector. I'm talking about the private sector. I don't think that you can be successful in really having a fair chance without having some sort of relationship put in place. There needs to be, even for you to know that the opportunity may be coming, that means that you would have probably had to do some sort of engagement with somebody along the line. You don't know what their motivation is behind it. It could be benchmarking. Could be they've already picked who they want, but they want to see how you deliver against that. Mm. Could be you've got no chance of winning this one, but we just want to see how you respond and how you react, and then we can potentially look at doing something else in the future with you. So it could just be like a bit of a test, or it could just be like, yeah, you know, we really like this guy, we really like the way the culture of this business is. He's exactly what we're looking for. The business is exactly what we're looking for. And we want to give this guy or lady an opportunity, yeah.
Maybe an admin person has been asked to tender out companies.
Could be direct. Could be direct. Could be a decision maker within the business direct. Yeah. It could be a facilities management company. It could be, when I say facilities management company, that means that there is a company which is managing the soft or hard services for the client. They've engaged with you to kind of facilitate that service. So they're kind of buyers, but then sometimes the client will make the overall decision, and then that facilities management company will just present that to the client and say, look, these are this is how they've responded to our questions. There's their costings. These are their deliverables. Make a decision, you know.
Really tough, because the people that you're pitching to are not necessarily the end decision makers. So how do you get across your proposition and your USP?
There's quite a lot of layers of barriers of entry, shall I say. And essentially, yeah, there's a link in between initial relationship building to the opportunity being presented to you, to the FM company interested in working with you, to the buyer, or sorry, not the buyer, client making the decision if you're going through facilities management route. Yeah, there is a lot for you to kind of consider. And essentially what you need to do is just study and understand what client and the buyer is looking for. What do they want is also a variable in how they send out opportunities. Because if the client is looking for a particular service and you're unable to meet those objectives, you've got to be careful on how you kind of answer to those sort of responses. You know, sometimes it's not all about bottom line. Sometimes it could just be about agility and able to work under pressure, or being able to be quite reactive because their particular site or the client is quite unpredictable. So if you don't know that information and the client hasn't made it very clear that this is very desirable for them, you could be building your responses about costings, and you could be about sustainability or equal opportunity, and really that's not what the client's looking for. So I think to answer your question is probably clarity. There's frameworks built for each opportunity, each tender. It's usually like a standardized copy of questions and costs and innovations. It's not very bespoke. So I think if I was to kind of give advice from procurement to a procurement consultant, I think I'd probably say that in order for you to get the best supplier, I think you should be quite clear on what your expectations are. I mean, it seems good on paper, and if you are a buyer and you've got people above you who are suggesting that we need to look at sustainability, social governance, quality, innovation. These are kind of things which is like at the top level what they really want to get within their new supplier. But then actually when you get down to ground level and you're actually working with that specific client or that specific data center manager or that specific facilities manager, whoever it is that you're going to be having that relationship, a lot of that information at the top might not really resonate with what that person at ground level really wants. You'll have examples of, can you identify more sustainability practices? But there's been often times where sustainability isn't really a priority, shall I say. It could just be about the costs, be about agility, or it just could be about who's going to look after my account. I need to feel like I'm being nurtured here. But it's built in the tender exercise because they need to make sure that they have addressed certain areas within their buying process. Kind of understand why. If you're looking for a house, right, and then you've got all these sort of selection boxes attached, garage, driveway, touring or period property, you know, all these type of variations of criterias, you will start ticking all of them. I want everything. Because if you was to get something within your budget with all those boxes and all those criterias matched, it'd be fantastic. But it's unlikely that you're going to achieve everything that you've selected versus what your budget is. So last December, we was bidding on a data center, and they had various amounts of questions regarding the service, and there was a costing item against it. One of the pages was about TOC services, and there might have been sort of 30 or 40 questions with line items costings against it. So we tin what we believe these services cost in order for you to achieve the expectation that we believe the brand new data center would need. Cut a long story short, we were unsuccessful on the bid, and the feedback that we got was ad hoc service costings was too high, and we expected the daily cleaning, commercial cleaning, to address all of the areas. Essentially, they were basically saying they didn't really need any ad hoc services. That's the case. Why is ad hoc services in the costing exercise, you know? So you you can't really work around it. You just need to learn from it. You need to kind of understand who are you dealing with, what's important to them. And you may be unsuccessful, but then you could be successful with them in the future. But now that you've worked with them to a certain degree and you know what's important to them, you know that in the future, this could be something that needs to be spoken about. Then you kind of learn to ask particular questions depending on what your relationship is like, and you can really start to understand what is the actual client looking for here. Is this really because they're trying to save? Is this a costing exercise, or are they looking to increase the quality of the service?
What's a good example of how somebody should approach you? Say, this is the ideal situation. If you can do any supplier, how should they?
Relationship, talk, understand one another, and then just ensure that what person can deliver aligns with what you want. I'd say 90% of my business has just come down to building relationships with people and just talking.
Yeah, so I suppose one of the first things you could do, if you want to, rather than just having a list, just phone them up, just say, hey, look, just we were talk. Thinking of you, just talk.
Just talk.
See how you feel. Yeah, I like
just
that.
Just talk. Like, if you are looking to buy something, then I would definitely recommend that you tell the person what you want. I walk into an estate agent and say, I want to buy a house. And then they say, well, what house are you looking for? And I literally tick on every single criteria box. You would waste a lot of time because you don't really know what I want. So I would suggest you try and build relationships where you can actually conversations with your prospects, and they can say, do you know what? I'm looking for a house, but I mean, I'm not that fussed about the garden. I'm just really interested in the room sizes. I'm really interested in the view. I want to be by the seaside. I want to be in the city. You know, I'm looking for a townhouse, or I'm looking for a bungalow. Like, have those type of conversations. So when the opportunity comes up, then you know that this is what that person's looking for. Can I provide it? Do we have that service available? Do we have that, okay, in quote, property on the market? Can we deliver that service? If you can, then it just saves a lot of time and you kind of both achieve what you want.
So I think good. So if you have just listened to us, of course, or just coming to the end, this is Ash with Courtney from C4 Cleaning. And that's what we're talking about. But if you do want to listen on, we're going to just talk a little bit business in general, things you've learned this week, things I've learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've learned a lot about, I was reading a book by a guy called David Deutsch. And I was analysing you and business and entrepreneurs and successful people. And the long and short is fallibility, acknowledging that you make mistakes and that you're learning. I don't know if you resonate with that. You do it quite naturally. I don't think you consciously do it, or maybe you do. I don't think you've learned it. I think you've always been a...
I think my skill is understanding people. It's quite easy for me to do because I'm generally quite interested in people. So I find myself asking people a lot of questions because I'm generally interested in what they do. I'm not, like I said at the beginning, this discussion, I'm not a person who likes to talk about myself a lot. I like to talk about you. I'm interested in your journey. What made you delve into that career? You know, why did you go to the army? Why did you get married so early? You know, why did you have kids? Why didn't you have kids? Like, all these type of, it allows conversations to flow. And I am just a sponge when it comes to sort of knowledge and wisdom. I want to know what makes you make decisions. What made you not make that decision? You know, what made you travel across the world? What made you decide to live in the UK? You know, I'm just so interested in stuff like that. Because I am keen to understand people, it makes me quite good doing business because I'm interested in delivering something for you.
Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah,
I've read that. He always, look, first thing, you know, just take an interest in people, you know, and you can't fake it. Who's the other one? Stephen Covey as well, you know, Seven Laws, you know, first seek to give and understand, you know, so you kind of, but you do it quite naturally as well. No?
It does come natural to me. It does actually come natural to me. It's not something that I need to work at because I'm generally like the sort of quietest person in the room and I'm kind of studying my environment and understanding what people are talking about or trying to learn about what people are talking about. I'm quite conscious and in.
Do you think sometimes it can sort of not necessarily work in your favor or people don't, they're sort of naive, they just sort of think, oh, he's just quiet, he's off character, he doesn't know what he's doing. You think sometimes they, you know, they, I mean, you can use that, you say, oh,
for sure.
yeah, they like...
For sure.
Yeah.
Because you've got to also understand that, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? In some situations, somebody is looking for the opposite of what you're doing. So if I'm naturally a reserved type of person and I'm interested in understanding about you, that might not be of interest to somebody. Somebody might say, I want to work with someone who's loud and generally quite confident and just makes me feel that they've got this whole situation under control. It doesn't necessarily need to be a buying experience. It could be picking your next partner, you know, be, and then you want to go on a date and you want to go with somebody who's particularly loud and very confident. That makes you feel safe. But equally, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so that might be the opposite of what they're looking for. So I think it's kind of a yin and yang. I often sort of match this with purchasing situations. Sometimes your prospect wants to go with a global supplier, and sometimes your prospect wants to go with a small to medium sized supplier. They have their reasons and mechanism behind it. So what works for the global might not work for the small to medium, and what works for the small to medium might not work for the global. So you've got to understand, people buy from people. So at the end of the day, it is down to what that person's looking for, is whether you meet their criteria.
Anything I haven't asked, anything this week that you kind of want to just kind of get
off my chest and
share, get off your chest.
Yeah, do you know what? I went to an event which was held by MSD UK. The event was held at CBRE head office, and it was what that organization does is bridges the gap from minority owned businesses to work with corporate buyers. It was interesting to hear, because this event was primarily focused on public sector and don't really deal with public sector, but it's interesting to hear how they view the exercise of working with sort of small to medium sized businesses, their experiences with working with sort of global suppliers, tier one suppliers, what their commitments are to ensure that tier one suppliers are fair with their spend, how much responsibility are they going to take with working with tier one suppliers and making sure that their spend goes in the right way. So it was quite interesting to hear that. It gave me an opportunity. Well, I had to do a 15-minute presentation and talk about myself, and I think I found that quite difficult, because talking about myself is not really one of my strong points. But at the same time, I represent a large community within southeast of London. Sometimes you need to put your own reservations aside and speak up for the people that you're representing. Because my story is pretty good, but there's loads of people with my story or has the opportunity to exceed my story. So yeah, I found that experience really good.
Cool. Now, I know we could talk for hours, and I know you probably want to as well. But we've got to think of the listeners and where we're going. But maybe in the future, we'll do slightly longer. How can people that might be listening now, just in case they want to connect with you, or get in touch?
Jump on my LinkedIn, Courtney.Chambers. No, sorry, that's my email address. Courtney Chambers, shall I say, on LinkedIn. You can jump on our YouTube channel, which is C4 Cleaning. Yep. You could jump on our TikTok channel, which is, what is that, Ash?
It's all C4 Cleaning. In theory, we're doing your SEO as well.
Yeah, so anything C4 Cleaning.
C4 Cleaning.
Anything socials, it'll come up. I'm there. And if you want to talk to me, drop me a DM or a message. I always try and get back to everybody and show the love. So hit me up.
Yeah, so if you resonate with anything Courtney's saying today, and definitely get in touch. He's here. Real people.